Welcome to LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Ben Miller. If we haven't met, I'm the campus life pastor for the Marion LifePoint campus. We're at the start of a new series called Ordinary People, and the big idea of this study and something you'll hear each week is that God uses ordinary people to accomplish his extraordinary purposes. We know this to be true. Many people from all over the Bible weren't extraordinary in and of themselves, yet God used them in special ways for his purposes. The focus here of this series is really about being obedient, faithful, to serving the body of Christ in whatever way he leads you. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to be important. In fact, our job is to make God important by serving and exalting the name of our God. Teddy Roosevelt, our 26th president, was known for many quotes. One of my favorites is this: "Far and away, the best prize that life offers is the chance to work hard at work worth doing." To work hard at work worth doing. You know, this is probably even more true than Teddy Roosevelt could ever know, because within the church, God made us to do. He didn't just make us to sit. This is true no matter of our age or wealth or other circumstances. Doing good deeds for the body of Christ and by extension for the honor and glory of our God is a special opportunity. You know, even in the Garden of Eden, before the fall of man, one of the first things God did was give Adam the opportunity to work, to do something of value. You know, to illustrate this, I want to turn our attention to the book of Nehemiah. So Israel was under captivity under Babylonian rule. God gave Israel warning after warning, and they wouldn't listen to the prophets, and so he sent them into exile around 500 BC. So then several generations were born in captivity of Babylon. So along came this guy named Ezra. Ezra has his own book of the Bible, and he went back to Jerusalem, and he led some folks there to rebuild the temple of God. About 14 years later, we meet a guy named Nehemiah, who is the cupbearer to the king, who writes the book of Nehemiah almost like a personal journal. There's no way that Nehemiah could take on the task of rebuilding the entire city walls and gates all by himself. He was going to need some help. So he recruited other people, and then he listed them in the book of Nehemiah. These are actual people and their names and their families. So I'll do my best to kind of muddle through pronouncing them. But look with me at Nehemiah 3, verses 1 to 5. Nehemiah 3, verses 1 to 5. "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up and his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Hassanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakaz, repaired. And next to them, Meshulam, the son of Barakiah, son of Meshezubel, repaired. And next to them, Zadok, the son of Bana, repaired. And next to them, Tekoites, repaired. But their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord." Their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. So each family by name and the part they worked and the thing that they did is defined throughout this book. There are a few things to notice here in this first passage. The high priest and his brothers were the temple priests. They worked on the gate for the sheep and the shepherds to pass through the city walls. What's super important here is that they didn't think it was beneath them to participate. It wasn't like they were saying, you know what, I've got more priestly things to do right now. So why is that important? It brings us to our first point today. You don't have to be particularly skilled to serve others. You don't have to be skilled to serve others. You know, priests did a lot of things at that time. They sacrificed animals. They had to know a lot about animal anatomy. They had to create perfumes and incenses for the temple. And in that way, they were a little like chemists. They were supposed to look at people when they had health problems, it's like rashes, and that made them a little bit like doctors. But in no way, no shape, nor form were they qualified as excellent builders. They had a willingness to serve, and they weren't going to sit by idly and watch everyone else do the work. You know, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but in verse 5, it says that the nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. They wouldn't stoop to serve the Lord. Yikes, that's pretty harsh. Their names will be written for all eternity for thinking that they're too good to serve the Lord. This was definitely an insult to these nobles. And that brings us to our next point. It does take humility to serve the local body of Christ. You know, throughout my lifetime, I've never heard anyone inside the church admit that they were too good to do a certain activity. But just because no one said it doesn't mean they didn't think it. There are people in the church who struggle with serving because they just feel like, the thing that you're asking me to do is beneath me. You know, many listening to this Drivecast probably don't fall into this category. You probably serve very faithfully in some way or way, shape, or form. But this is an encouragement maybe to reconsider our hearts when we're serving, to evaluate our hearts. Maybe it's time to step into a different role. Maybe it's time to do something else, or maybe it's time to just do the thing that we're doing with joy. Regardless, it takes a certain level of humility to serve the local body of Christ. No one is above engaging and playing an active role in the body of Christ. We can all chip in. That won't look the same for everyone. So where do you fit in? We looked at Nehemiah in the Old Testament, but we see this everywhere throughout the Bible. Continue with me as we look at Galatians 5:13-14. Galatians 5:13-14. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So how do we, as the body of Christ, show that we love one another? We can often communicate this through humbling acts of service. You see, dividing the work and serving within the church is a way for us to show love to one another. It's not just to share the load and avoid burnout. So that brings us to our next point this morning. Serving shows how we love one another. Serving shows how we love one another. You know, this is a way that we encourage each other, we get to know each other, we even find a sense of healing and purpose, all by serving through the body of Christ. Sometimes we find ourselves doing things because we have to, or because we think, well, somebody has to do it, and that's fine, because there's a gap, we fill it, and that's okay. But the things that we do long-term are inspired by love. We do things we find value in doing those things because we value the people we're doing the things for. The have-tos in our lives, doing things out of obligation, they don't really stick for long term. They're not meaningful to us. And this is also true when we do things for God and we do things for the body of Christ. You know, some of you already know that once upon a time, Shendra and I, my wife, planted a church. We started and pastored that church. We also went to the mission field twice. And while that sounds like I'm boasting, I want you to understand the reason why I'm telling you that is because those paths were just filled to the brim with difficulties, challenges, hardships, and hurts. And like Paul the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians 11:30, if we're going to boast, we should boast in the things that show our weakness, our hardships, our challenges, difficulties, hurts. You know, Shendra and I might not have ever been shipwrecked physically, or beaten, but I can tell you our lives have been shipwrecked and beaten by other believers more than once. In fact, at one point we were so beaten down by the world of believers that we wouldn't have been able to predict being a part of this Marian campus. We endured hurts from believers before we left China, after we got there, when we got back. And I can tell you at that point, I felt like I was done. I was done. There would be no more ministry. I wasn't even sure if I'd be able to do anything at a church, period, other than just attend. Even then, I wasn't sure that I could attend for a while. We did house church in our house because I just wasn't even sure I could be there. And at some point, we did go back and start attending church. We struggled to engage. We were utterly broken. Our hearts were broken. A couple of years later, we moved to Delaware. And we tried pretty much every church in Delaware, and a friend of ours suggested that we try Delaware Life Point. And we were reluctant for whatever reason. And until we did, we tried it. We showed up at Delaware and we felt a sense of being home. But it scared me. I wasn't sure that I was ready to engage again. You know, my wife Shendra pulled our whole family aside and said, "We're all serving. You know, they need kids volunteers, so where do you want to serve in kids?" Pretty soon, our whole family was serving in kids, and I found myself doing skits for the crew room. It was challenging, but it was also great. And I made some friends, and I had some fun, and I was able to be a blessing to other people. All the while, I know that God was stirring in my heart to do good works. By that, I mean, I could tell that this was just a first step. Soon after that, I was doing slides and getting more involved, and we started attending a life group. You know, I was determined at that time that I was not going to become a life group leader, because at some point along the way, I was a small group leader, sometimes more than one group, every week with virtually no breaks for something like 13 years. But soon enough, Nathan Shireman, who's the campus life pastor at Lewis Center, started talking to me about being a co-leader of his group. I ended up leading a couple different life groups before about a year and a half ago, Paul Pretty invited me to lunch to talk to me about prayerfully considering taking on the role of campus life pastor here at Marion. And frankly, I'm still on that journey. Sometimes I still have the wounded thoughts in the back of my mind saying, are you going to be able to do this? Kind of like preaching. You know, when I was a pastor, I was preaching 49 times out of 52 every year, and I loved preaching. And it felt like, I felt like at one point I was pretty decent at it. And then when I stopped preaching, it wasn't like I loved it less, but I got pretty rusty pretty fast. And I think a lot of that has to do with confidence. So this past year, having stood up in front of Marion a few times now, scary as it was, I counted it as an honor and a privilege and restoration and a joy to be used by God in this way and be able to share my heart, flawed as it is, wounded as it is, with all of you. That brings us to our last point. When we are faithful to God in service, He often brings healing to past church hurts. You know, I share this with all of you to encourage you. We all can at some times struggle to engage. It's often uncomfortable and inconvenient to serve. It's not always fun. We may not always get along with everyone we're serving with. They may not get along with us. We might not feel qualified, and maybe we are, maybe we're not. But it's about being willing to serve, to step out in faith and do the things we're uncomfortable doing. But we do it to advance the kingdom of God, to glorify our Heavenly Father, because we want our lives to be more than comfort. More than just trying to achieve, we want to be defined by our heart for God. So what's your next step? Maybe right now, as you listen to this, your next step is just to be faithful in engaging and attending a local body of Christ, making it a priority just to be present. Or maybe it's time for you to take a step forward and get involved in a life group, making it a priority to get to know people at your local body of Christ and allow them to get to know you and be a part of Him. And I could tell you, as a life group guy, that almost everybody I've talked to would testify that being a part of a life group has, at least at a minimum, made it a lot more fun on Sunday morning when you see and talk to folks that you're getting to know better. Okay, so you're attending, you're also going in a life group. Maybe it's time for you to find a place to serve. And whether that serving is by becoming a life group leader or serving by becoming a part of a life team, just the willingness to serve and be a part of the body and part of the effort that it takes to do church, it's super important. And it's helpful to the local body. And it brings honor and glory to God. And it's also good for you. And it will help you engage, grow, maybe even heal. Maybe you do serve, but maybe you need an attitude check. You've been doing something out of obligation, not out of joy, and you want to do better than that. Or maybe it's time to be a team leader and take a step forward and take on more responsibility. I don't know what your next step is, but God does, and quite possibly the Holy Spirit is calling you to more, calling you to engage, calling you to serve. Let's take this before the throne of God. God, I don't know all the folks who are listening to this, and I pray that you're just working in their hearts, that God, maybe you would stir your spirit in them. Maybe it's just an attitude check. Maybe they're serving and they're faithful and they're doing an awesome job, but maybe they're doing it out of obligation and they just need to take a moment and be grateful for the opportunity to serve and give that to you and serve out of joy. Maybe there are folks out there that need to get involved in their local body of Christ and start attending and making that a priority. Or maybe they need to be a part of a life group or become a life group leader, or get involved in a life team. I just pray that whatever that thing is that they need to do, that you would be with them, God. You inspire them to take steps forward in faith, and that as they do, you would continue to heal past wounds, and you could continue to encourage them forward in their walk with Christ. That God, I just pray that you'd be with each one out there today and help them to be more engaged than they were yesterday. Pray a special blessing on each one of them. In Jesus' name, amen.